Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
There's no question that we are in a crisis in America, in fact, in the world, a turning point for better or worse. But my faith says the crisis will result in a turn for the better. The track record of God is indisputable. He is the victor of every battle, the conqueror of every foe, the port of peace in every storm, the morning joy of every tearful night, the resurrection of every dead or dying dream. He is life. He is the Almighty. He is the sun of my galaxy. Everything about me revolves around He. And He alone, in whom I believe, I live and move and have my being. We are in a storm, just like Pastor Becky sang, we are in a storm, but He is the peace in the midst of the storm. But when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Bible teaches us that God will raise a standard to repel him. This virus is not God getting our attention or sending us a message or giving us a test. In truth, it is an attack from the enemy of humanity. John 10:10, one of my favorite verses. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The coronavirus perfectly fits the modus operandi of the adversary. It steals, it kills, it destroys. Jesus came to bring life and it more abundantly. The virus doesn't fit either one of those. So please don't falsely accuse God. This is the flood that the Bible refers to in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 3 and 8. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied the seed and gave him Isaac. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them in your land that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. This is a time of demarcation. This is a time that we will talk about for the rest of our lives. It's a time that God neither designed nor desires, but a time that the adversary means for evil. But God will turn this evil to good. It will separate the fearful from the faithful. It will separate the talkers from the walkers. It will separate those that deal in platitudes from those that have the substance of faith. We will come forth on the other side of the flood, stronger and richer for it. If it will stay with us all of our natural life, that our God is greater than any weapon formed against us, seen or unseen. On the other side of the flood, it's a new place. It's a Canaan land. It's a place where I can give Abraham his promised Isaac, God said. His promised seed multiplied, his enemies destroyed. The victory we desire, the virus we defeat in the name of Jesus Christ. This attack finds a pattern in the Bible. When Job was facing loss, doom and gloom, and even death, he set the high bar of our reactions and our actions for total victory. Number one, Job 1:22. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all of this, don't falsely accuse or charge God. I hear it say on Facebook all the time, God is trying to get our attention. God is doing this. God is doing that. God is not the author of confusion, and He is not the author of death. He's not the author of sickness. I just wonder what they think the devil is doing. If God is constructing viruses, if God is causing car wrecks, if God is sending down cancer, it sounds to me like the devil's out of a job. Friend, do not falsely accuse God. When Job went through all of that, it was a painful thing. He lost loved ones. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. But the Bible said in all of this, Job sinned not because he did not charge God foolishly. And so I charge this to the devil. The devil really hates humanity. It is he that attacks and not God. God is on our side. You can't praise God one moment and accuse God the next. He's either a good God or he's not. He's either good all the time or not good at all. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that it is time not to falsely accuse God, but to name God for what He is. God is our creator. God is our redeemer. God is our savior. God is our protector. God is the one that provides for us. He is a good God. His mercy is fresh every morning. His grace is enduring. And God has got his hand on America. And the forces of evil that try to destroy us will be defeated by the grace and the power of God's Holy Spirit. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the audience that I preach to, the few people that are here today, but mostly the audience that I'm preaching to today that's watching this, they're not just Christians. Most of the people that come to Living Way Church and follow this ministry, they're the SEALs. They're the special forces because they are the Spirit-baptized crowd, the people that have moved into the upper room and came out with the power of God in their life. And so there are well-meaning Christians that are doing their very best. But I appeal to the Holy Ghost-filled crowd because you know God in a way that is intimate. You know God that is in a way that is powerful. And not only that, you are a people that understand warfare. And you understand that God has given us the power to bind and the power to loose. So I say it's time that we, the Holy Ghost-filled crowd in America and around the world, and it's about a billion of us now, I say it's time that we rise as one, an army with banners, and declare that we will not let the devil come in and kill and steal and destroy. But praise God, we will loose the abundant life that Jesus Christ gave us, and we will begin to loose the promises of God, which are yea and amen. And we will begin today to bind the demons and the devils that are trying their very best to take people out of this world unprepared. This is our finest hour. This is what God created us for. It's time for the church of the living God to be the church. It's time for us to rise to the occasion and declare that God is God and there is none like him. He is almighty. He is powerful. He is able. He has got the authority, and we call it in Jesus' name. That's the first thing that Job did. He did not falsely accuse God. Number two, then Job arose in Job 1:20. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. Unfortunately, so many people that feel like they love Christ and call themselves Christian do not have a clue on how to truly worship God. They've never taken the 149th Psalm and the 150th Psalm and made it a part of their life. But Job was a worshiper. In the very depth of his despair, he was still a worshiper. I'm asking you, ladies and gentlemen, can you only worship God when the building is full? Can you only worship God when you can come to the house of God? One thing this ought to do in a few days is give us a new appreciation of coming to God's house and of being able to gather with God's people. But now, in this day and hour, I ask you, can you worship God where you are? Does it take a full choir, a musical team, and all the aids for you to praise God? Or can you praise God where you are? When Job's wife had abandoned him and his friends were accusing him and he was sick and afflicted and the devil was whispering in his ear, Job said, let me tell you this. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to worship God. This is an express time for us to worship God like we never have. It's so easy now to give God the sacrifice of praise, and the sacrifice of praise carries with it a special blessing. And so there in your home where you're watching us streaming right now, don't think of it as a computer or a television show. Close your eyes and meditate on the goodness of God. It's all right to raise your hands right where you are. It's all right to say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for my deliverance. Thank you for my protection. It's all right to be a worshiper right there. You don't have to have 100 people or 1,000 people worshiping with you. You can worship God right there by yourself or with a few members of your family. Worship God. Cry out to the Lord. Talk about his greatness. Talk about his accolades. Talk about his attributes. Talk about his power. Talk about his goodness. Talk about his authority. Talk about what he's done in your life. Talk about the joy that God has given you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So, ladies and gentlemen, the second thing Job did, I'm giving you spiritual things to do during this time. The government's going to give you physical things. I'm giving you spiritual things. The second thing to do is become a worshiper. If you're a true worshiper, it shouldn't be hard for you to kick in. But you know, this would be a good time for some of you that have never, ever really practiced worship to learn how. The reason why most people that are Christians don't worship the Lord is because they're afraid. They're afraid they're going to look funny. They're afraid somebody's going to laugh at them. They're going to afraid they'll stick out. Well, there you are in your little hacienda. Nobody's looking at you. This would be, some of you have never raised your hands like this. It would be a great time for you to practice that. I want you to practice it so much that when you go back to your church on a Sunday not far away, that you will do it right in that sanctuary. It's a time to begin to call on His name. Learn what it is to literally call on His name. Speak that name that is above every name. And so the second thing is, you need to become a true worshiper in this time. Number three, put your total trust in God. Job chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain my own ways before Him. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before Him. Job said, I put my total trust in Him. You see, Job had quite a situation. His wife was blaming him for his sickness. His friends were blaming him and say, you have secretly sinned, Job, and that's the reason why this has come upon you. God didn't put it on him. Read the book of Job. Satan put it on him. And so there are so many people that are saying, well, God's put this on America for such and such a reason. Not true. Not true. We need to trust the Lord like Job did. Job said, my friends have abandoned me. My wife has turned against me. I'm wiping my boils with a piece of pottery. He said, I am in miserable pain, but I'm trusting in the Lord totally. And he said, I trust not only in the Lord to keep me and sustain me, but he said, I trust in the Lord to resurrect me. Though He slay me, He'll bring me back. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, some of you are saying, I've already lost my job. I've already had this happen. I've already been affected this way. Trust in the Lord. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Because what is lost is coming back. The Lord is able to resurrect a job, a better job, a bigger job, a better business, a stronger business, a more financially productive business. You've got to put your trust in the Lord. The Lord that sees every sparrow that falls knows exactly what you're going through and exactly what you're thinking psychologically. It's time to put your trust in the Lord. Said, well, I depend on the government. Oh, my government's way down on my list. I thank God for everything they're doing, but it's a long time before I get to the government. My first line of defense is I trust in the Lord totally. I've been living for the Lord a long time, since I was a 10-year-old boy. He's never forsaken me. He's never let me down. I've looked at so many times and said, this is the worst thing that could possibly. I just can't believe this is happening. And then in just a few days, a few hours, and sometimes the Lord would turn around. I'd say, wow, I should have had a V8. Why didn't I believe that God was going to come through? And ladies and gentlemen, I realize those of you watching me right now, you've had some tough times already. I realize that fear is trying to stalk you. But rise up and say, I will put my trust in the Lord. He's a good God. You see, you can pray effectively if you don't believe that God did this. If you believe there's a devil and the devil's done this, you can pray so effectively. And so I do not blame God. I trust God. God is my help in the time of need. I look to the hills from which cometh my strength. And praise God, the devil means this for evil, but the Lord is going to turn it to good. I'm going to be better. Becky's going to be better. Pastor Brandon, Pastor Mandy, Pastor Sean, my grandkids, they're all going to be better. All the people of Living Way Church, we're going to be better. This corporate body is going to be better. Praise God. But it's a time for us just to have a praise seizure. I mean, just praise like we've never done before and say, I trust in the Lord. You see, trusting God is not knowing how. It's just believing He shall. I don't know how God's going to turn this around, but praise God, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And number four, I love this verse. This is Job chapter 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. I'm claiming this. little secret to this. It happened when Job prayed for his friend. My pet peeve, folks, is disloyalty. People that you depend on that turn against you, that let you down, the old Western term, people that you try to ride the river with and they drown your horse. That's not a good deal. You've all had friends like that. And Job's friends did exactly that. When they should have been strengthening him and encouraging him in faith, they accused him. They said, Job, you deserve this. You're getting what you deserve, buddy. You failed God. We don't know what your secret sins are, but we know you've got, or you would be going through this. And so Job's friends were so disloyal. But Job was able to get above the bitterness and not retaliate in like kind. But in his pitiful state of suffering, Job prayed for his friends that had been disloyal to him. Let me tell you, this is a key step. This would just be a good time. We still got telephones. We still got social media. This would be a wonderful time to bridge some gaps, to mend some broken relationships, to forgive some people. You say, well, I'm not going to forgive. No, you don't forgive people that are right. You forgive people that are wrong. Forgiveness is the capstone of Christianity. Jesus didn't forgive us because we were right. He forgave us because we were wrong. And so you've had some people in your life that you really, they've let you down. This would be a great time to pray for them and even reach out to them and let them know that you have forgiven them, because we've got a big payday coming back, but this is one of the bridges that we have to build. The payday is that Job received twice as much as he had before. Wow, my life has been really good. It's going to get twice as good. The Lord is going to double it up. It's going to be exciting. You know, this is a big building. I built a big building. I think about it all the time. But when I built this building, we were mostly through. We didn't have the carpet down yet, but we had a tour day on Sunday after church, and I don't remember who the guy was now, but there was some little kid walking, just me and him walking through this, and people walking everywhere. And he said, he looked up at me, and I knew he had heard his mother. Dad said, my God, Pastor, what were you thinking? He just thought it was too big. He was only about 6 years old, so I know he had heard somebody say that. But praise God, if we get double, this building is not big enough. Suddenly the balcony is overflowing. Praise God. Think about your bank account double. Think about your joy double. Think about the number of people you're going to win to Christ double. Friend, it can happen if we will take these little steps that the Lord has given us. And last but not least, manifest faith in God's goodness. I turned on a program today while I was getting dressed, and the first four things that they said were criticism, and I immediately just turned it off. Friend, you don't want to criticize people, and you certainly don't want to criticize God. Remember what the Lord has done and build on that. Manifest your faith in God's goodness. Jesus is the Christ of the crisis. We are in a crisis, but that's not a time that shuts God down. It's a time where God takes the stage. I've asked Becky to come back and close out this service today with the song that she wrote, which has ministered to me and thousands, if not millions, of people around the world. I give you Jesus. And friend, that's what I give you. We want to be here to help you. If you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can do that right where you are. Right where you are today watching me, you can just say, Jesus Christ, I repent of my sins. Come into my life. I want to make you my Lord. We're going to be open here in a few days, and you can come to this church and begin to worship the Lord. You know what else? The Lord will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful gift. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're not only speaking a new language, you've got new joy, you've got new power, you've got new love. It's a supernatural experience, and God can give that to you right where you're watching this right now. Well, you can't really baptize yourself scripturally, but I'll tell you what. Our church office is going to be open. You want to call the church, make an appointment. I'm not too. You say, well, why did you close down the services? Not because I was afraid. I'm not afraid at all, because the government asked us to. And I will say this about our mayor and about the mayor of the city of San Antonio. They did not tell me to close. They said, it's your choice, Pastor. We will stand with you whatever you decide. And I really appreciate that. But we did that because we didn't want bad publicity. And we don't want people to think that we're rebellious. And so you and I could meet up here, and I can baptize you in water in the lovely name of Jesus. All you got to do is call. We'll call you right back. The office will be open 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. I'll be happy to baptize you. This is a time where you need to take spiritual inventory and make sure that everything is right with the Lord. And so we will help you in every way we can. Pastor Brandon has mentioned to you about the food bank and about we want to help you physically with food if you need it. But the best thing we can do is give you Jesus Christ, because Jesus has been through everything with me. He's been through sin with me and made me an overcomer. He's been through fear with me and made me faithful. He's been through sickness with me and made me whole and healed. And praise God, one of these days I'll draw my last breath and Jesus will be there and we'll step into glory together. And so, Becky, I want you to come right now, because more than anything, to the people that are watching all over the world, San Antonio, wherever you are, we want to give you Jesus Christ, because he is the Lord God omnipotent, manifested in the flesh, and now manifest himself in his spirit to come and fill your heart, change your life, and meet your need. God bless you. Until I can talk to you again. Pastor Becky.